The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Everybody who's on the mic, when it's your turn, you step forward, and it's one hand, the next hand. One hand, the next hand, to deliver your verse. This is the Beastie Boys. This is what you want. Sorry about it. We're going all early 90s hip-hop, because that's the last time Washington was 10-5. The last time a lot of things happened was the early 90s. Five tutties in a game. Jaden Daniels, Mark Rippon. Little handshake emoji. Last time they were 10-5, 91 Redskins. Washington, whatever the stupid name is now. Handshake emoji. Grant Danny here on The Fan. Hi, Richmond. What's up, guys? No GP. We got Toby Altizer with us here. Want to remind you guys of a couple different teeny tiny little things. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. As exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Ben, good to go? We got old Ben standing joining us here at 3 p.m. from The Athletic. Ben, do your best to quantify what the hell we saw yesterday.
Oh, boy. I mean, I was talking to a friend last night. He was like, take that last, like, 90 seconds, 2 minutes or so of the Cowboys game and then put it into just 60 minutes. Like, that was the whole game. If we just focused on the first quarter, that was an insane amount of things that were happening, and then it spread out over four. But I would say it's from a Washington perspective that, you know, we talk about in the NFL – teams are looking for that franchise quarterback. And I think that it's such an it's a misunderstood term because people think just because you draft somebody in the first round or you have a guy that's a pretty, you know, good starter, that means you have one of those. You might have a good player, but there's a difference. And for me, those guys are the ones who, when everything is going wrong around them, whether that's injuries or just the pieces on the field, whatever it is, that they are able to lift up the team by their performance. And, you know, I don't know if there's much better example than what we saw yesterday. It wasn't Jaden Daniels' cleanest game, you know, the two interceptions. But when you, you know, consider, you know, the opponent, the stakes, you know, we know they're missing some pieces on offense. That, you know, this is still year one of a rebuild or recalibration. And the performance that, you know, what he did in the fourth quarter, as we've now seen this several times this year, it is really – the makings of one of those guys who you could say is a franchise quarterback. He hasn't played enough for me to like definitively say he's there, but man, the traits are certainly there. And that was another one of the performances that makes me really think that.
And what was it yesterday that impressed you the most? Because it seemed like nothing else was working except for anything that involved Jaden Daniels, whether it was him running, him in the passing game. What impressed you the most about that performance, which is probably his best to date?
Yeah, I mean, you know, his movements in the pocket, you know, whether it's just stepping away from a pass rush or his ability to get down the field and you know, juke defenders as we saw yesterday, I mean, you know, that's a pretty elite trait. But broadly, I am getting almost frustrated to the point of how calm he is at all times. Like, nobody is like this. I don't quite understand it, as somebody who is constantly in his own head and herky-jerky moving around this world. He doesn't seem to be rattled ever by anything. It's just incredibly bizarre, and it's something that, you know, the teammates, the coaches have talked about, you know, for months now, going back to even before the season started. But now that we're in the season and you see these things happen in the fourth quarter, like, when there was no reason for Washington to be in this game, right, for the most part. Philly had multiple times they should have put it away. And when it got to 2 minutes to go and Washington has the ball down five, and I've been writing a story to some version of like, hey, you know, here's some reasons why they may have lost this one. I was like, oh, man, he's going to go down and score a touchdown, isn't he? And he did. And just to have that calming presence and that confidence that comes with that, I mean, that's just a remarkable asset for any team to have.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. All right, let's take our medicine here as we're on a sugar high, and we should be. That was incredible. That was awesome. It was so much fun. I'm not apologizing for any of it. But the bad was bad. The low moments, whether it was the turnovers, the start they got off to, not being able to stop anybody, just how bad was it while Jalen Hurts was still in the game?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was pretty tough look. Saquon Barkley really, really good, but you can't give up over 100 yards and two touchdowns to anybody, but especially the same guy who just in the last game in the fourth quarter did the same thing to you. You know, they added Marshawn Lattimore for a variety of reasons, but number one, I would probably guess, is his ability to be able to cover a receiver to some degree on his own would therefore allow you to stack the box, and somehow that wasn't working either. On offense, yeah, the turnovers were just too much. That was a weird Brian Robinson game. You know, we haven't seen him put the ball on the ground like that and then to do it twice and then nothing on the ground working other than, you know, Jaden Daniels. That was tough. I mean, I still, no matter what is happening here, I'm constantly in top of mind for me is that this is a roster that still has a lot of things it needs. That's what makes it so incredible that they are where they are, because this is only year one of this sort of roster retool, and they have to get, you know, more talent, more playmakers. So I think that's, you know, when they've gone against some of the better teams in the league, you know, they were 0-4 against teams with winning records before yesterday. And like you said, Jalen Hurts, it was looking like it might be 0-5. So yeah, I mean, there's still work to do, but I think it's more like work they can do in the off season more than it is like the coaches or the players have to do something different. Cause you know, I think for the most part, most of these guys are probably maxing out to some degree.
Marshawn Lattimore was on the field for he was there last week, but they didn't have anybody that's a lead. He didn't get targeted this week. Obviously going up against AJ Brown matched up there. I thought he was up and down. What'd you make of his performance? And then we're going to learn more from DQ in just a little bit, but did you get any inkling if it's something that's serious or if it's something that's going to linger, or what do you have an update on Marshawn Lattimore?
Yeah, not too sure about the injury yet. Like you said, we'll hear from Dan Quinn in about 20 minutes, but obviously, you know, if there was a question about the trade, it wasn't so much the compensation, because they did have extra picks, and getting a guy with his talent under contract for the next couple of years, you know, in theory checks a box for one of the areas of need that you need. The question was the injuries. He's missed a bunch of games the last few years. Obviously, after the trade, he misses 4 games, and now to go out with his hamstring injury, you know, I don't know enough about the hamstring to know, you know, what if something like that is just going to be continually chronic or what's going on. But obviously that's the concern from a football perspective. Like you said, up and down, you know, had some really nice moments against AJ Brown early on, and you know, maybe we can quibble about some of those pass interference penalties, but you know, there were still, you know, you got on the wrong end, you know, enough against AJ Brown. And you know, it was interesting to have the Saints just refuse to throw his way, and the Eagles had no qualms about that. You know, got the 2 pass interference penalties, which is on the first drive of the second half, which led directly to that first field goal for the Eagles of the second half. So yeah, an up and down day. Chalk it up to some degree to still, you know, getting used to some things here, and also AJ Brown's really, really good. But yeah, it was not quite it's the game. It's the kind of game you bring in a guy like that for, but not the kind of performance that you're hoping for.
So Ben, I talked about this at the top of the show today. The thing that makes what Jaden Daniels did yesterday that much more remarkable is, and it feels like I'm just picking on these guys. I don't mean to, but Jamison Crowder, De'Ami Brown, Luke McCaffrey, and Olamide Zaccheaus are all guys that couldn't get looks and targets because Noah Brown was there, who got cut by the Houston Texans. Like, this isn't the 99 Rams. This isn't like, Harrison and Reggie Wayne lining up on opposite sides. That's what's so incredible about this to me is the 94th and 103rd best receivers maybe in the NFL each have a couple of touchdown catches. And it's, one part Kingsbury deserves credit for it, but it's like 99 parts Daniels. I don't really have a great question about that, but go into it.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what I was meaning when I was talking before about a franchise quarterback. Again, I'm not making this comparison, but, it reminds me of those, so many of the Tom Brady years of New England where, you're like, who does he have playing receiver? I mean, I'll never forget they had one year that Rashad Caldwell was the Patriots' best receiver, who was kind of just a random guy. The next year, he lands on Washington and gets cut during the season. The look at Mahomes, to some degree, the last couple of years, other than Travis Kelce and tight end, he just hasn't had much to work with. But he makes these guys work. And look, Zaccheaus and Crowder, they are absolutely NFL receivers, right? They are totally viable. But you're just not looking at them at the top of the food chain viable. You're not thinking like, hey, big play, we're going to go to that guy. But when you have these kinds of quarterbacks, if you do your part and everybody does their part, they make the play. And that was, no better example, again, than what happened yesterday, that these guys are the big help. Now, look, obviously, he's got Terry McLaurin. I'm not discounting that.
Sure.
But, to have – I mean, I thought – it would be a close game, but I thought it would be low scoring because I couldn't figure out how Washington was going to be able to score enough when you're missing, like you said, Noah Brown, who was cut by another team earlier this year. You're missing Austin Eckler. Zach Ertz played but was clearly limited. And to have this with these other random parts thriving like that, five touchdown passes, it's remarkable.
Washington had no run game, essentially, outside of Jaden yesterday. How much of that is that Eagles run defense and having, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, those guys up front versus, I felt like this interior O-line has kind of struggled for about a month or so now. They didn't have much going last week against the Saints. I thought they played well against the Titans, but then going back to the losing streak, I didn't think they played well in there. Is there maybe something going on with the interior there, or is it just something that they just didn't have the run game going because the Eagles had a good run defense yesterday?
Yeah, no, I've been a little surprised that it's been this way. I mean, I think the losing Austin Eckler is obviously been a blow. I think it's a bigger blow when it comes to the passing game because none of these other running backs that they currently have can really run a route and catch a pass. I think that you mentioned the interior part of the line. I think there is something to be said for that it has not been as good. And yeah, the Eagles obviously have a pretty good front to boot, and then Robinson losing the two fumbles. I don't know how much of that messes with his, with his mindset, with Kingsbury's or not. But to the point of the Daniels thing, to not have the ground game at all beyond his own legs, and then to not have that safety valve or playmaker or pass catcher out of the backfield, and then still do all that, it is pretty crazy. But yeah, I've been wondering. Is there somebody that they could possibly add to the roster? Before Kazmir Allen got hurt, I kind of wondered, could you bring in a guy like him who everybody raves about his speed? Maybe even the Wiley kid, the undrafted free agent who was stood out a bit in camp and preseason. But you need that type of guy, and maybe if you have that, it helps loosen things up on the inside as well. But yeah, they're going to have to get the run game going because it can't just rely on Daniels the whole time.
As they come down the stretch here, Ben, last couple of meaningful games, you win one, especially the Atlanta one, you're in, but there's a great path for them, especially to get to 11 wins, which they haven't done since 91. What's the biggest concern here for that defense, these last couple of games, then potentially for the postseason? What's the number one thing we should be worried about?
Well, I think the run defense, right? I mean, the only two games this year that they really have, the numbers were on their side. The Tennessee game, when they got up on the Titans so quickly that, you know, they just had to kind of abandon Tony Pollard. And the Saints, you know, Alvin Kamara is really good, but they, you know, the quarterback situation for them and their whole offense is, you know, pretty bleak. So other than that, every team has just been, you know, pretty much gashing them against the run all year, even before John Allen was hurt. Now, maybe Allen, you know, I think there's a chance he comes back this week. We'll have to see how he progressed after last week. But, you know, does that help? I mean, you would think logically it would, but to me, that's going to be the biggest deal. They can't figure out a way to stop the run. And you look ahead, you know, to postseason matchups, obviously they could be against Barkley again. You know, if you're facing Detroit, you know, they've got Jahmyr Gibbs and you know, we can keep going. That to me is the big issue. If you can't control that, you're going to lose the time of possession. You're going to get, you know, keep your, you know, you're just going to make it much harder to stop anything else. So I think that to me is the big worry going forward here.
Ben, appreciate the time, man. Have a great holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Thank you, Ben. Happy holidays to you, buddy. There he goes. That is Ben Standing. Appreciate him as always. So we're obviously going to talk tons about the game. And we should, because it was awesome. It was so much fun. It was a roller coaster, glass case of emotion, the whole nine yards. Some major news happened, I mean, later than the 11th hour, quite literally 1:30 in the morning, that nobody saw coming on Friday. You got the mayor of D.C., who's out here, as you young folks say, bragging that the stadium is only going to take a couple years to build. So I'm going to ask you guys, we'll do a little either or. We got so much game breakdown to do. It's going to be so much fun the rest of the day. We got audio montages. We got Jay Gruden joining us at 5. Whole bunch of really fun stuff. Hopefully you've had a little time to calm down. It's been about just less than 24 hours since they won yesterday in dramatic fashion. What means more to you right now this minute? RFK being back in play or beating the Eagles? Right now this minute, you got to choose one. What means more to you? The RFK site, getting awarded to D.C., or beating Philadelphia at home the way that they did. 800-636-1067. We'll hear from Max. We'll hear from Christian Darrisaw. We'll hear from Tobias Funke, a.k.a. Toblerone. Old Fanny Mouye will weigh in, and I want to hear from you guys as well at 800-636-1067. Because it's a lot of last-second dubs for the old Washington 53 over the weekend. This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this was playing not too far from Nate Dogg's verse, from his chorus, I mean. This was good intro while you're looking for parking, and now you blast it out of your SUV in high school or whatever when you roll up to the party.
If you had Nate Dogg on your song, it was a banger.
Now,
come on now.
Can it be a hit if Nate Dogg doesn't spit?
Here, I have an answer to that. No.
No, that is a no. Looking for, would have accepted nope or no there or negative. Welcome back. Grant Danny here on The Fan. All early 90s hip-hop. Why? Because that's the last time Washington did what it's doing right now. They haven't been 10-5 since 91, where I set a state record for home runs in McLean Little League.
Look nice.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Nice.
Yeah, your boy hit nukes. and I gave up one run because an umpire squeezed me. True story. He didn't like my attitude. It's 100% true. Toby Altizer in for Grant Paulson. I brought this up before because it makes me look good. Actually, it doesn't make me look that good. I had a terrible attitude. It was just a whiny, spoiled, irritating kid that always got my way. But I happened to be filthy, throwing low 70s, little snapper, changeup, but I never needed it because I was just blowing people away. Any hoodles, I give a one-run run as a 12-year-old. It's because the umpire decided, I don't like the fact this guy's a zero next to his ERA. He didn't like me. He didn't like the cover of my jib, was annoyed at me all the time, was always chirping and whining, complaining, whatever. So no matter where I threw it, ball. I walked, the bases loaded, walked in a run on three clear strikes. He said, no, just ball. And so it got to the point where the coach goes, okay, you made your point. He gets in an argument with the guy and ended up taking me out of the game. We were winning by a lot anyway. But yeah, so that was the one run I gave up as a 12-year-old. Your boy was filthy. Anyway, the point of the dude's story is Washington beat Philadelphia. You heard that highlight right there. Beautiful throw and catch from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, who made a great in-air adjustment. So you had the quarterback on that side thought that it was going to be something quick. You're looking hot there, right? Where it's like, hey, I'm going to take away the slant or take away kind of a square in because you got a free rusher that's unaccounted for. Nobody thought it was going to be that corner route. And Daniels lofted it up there. McLaurin makes the great adjustment, gets his feet in, touchdown thing of beauty.
Yeah, was that his best throw of the day? I mean, it feels like it reminds you basically almost flip it because it was the other side of that Cincinnati throw,
it
right?
It was reminiscent of it, yeah.
Free blitzer coming off that side.
He ain't open when he throws it.
Throws it and lets McLaurin go get it. That one's probably just like the most impressive throw of the day, just in terms of put it in a vacuum. I'd probably say that touchdown throw at the end just because of the circumstance.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But, I mean, that is a moon ball. Like, that's the Russell Wilson moon ball. Throw it to the pylon. Let Terry go get it. I just love when you get to see elite athletes do something that they're great at. Jaden throwing that early with anticipation, understanding he's going to get hit, throwing it to a perfect spot. And then Terry, I mean, you can speak that you were a baseball player. I suck at baseball. I suck at tracking anything, catching anything. How hard is it to catch that ball when you're looking dead up over
really
your
hard.
Head?
It's underrated Incredible. How hard it is. He made it look pretty easy. It's not. Going over an opposite shoulder without turning all the way around. In other words, you have to lose sight of the ball to turn your head a certain way. Right? When you see outfielders get themselves turned around, it's because they're terrified to lose sight of the baseball. So when a guy that's really elite at tracking something, say a ball, say it's hit right over your head with spin in the opposite direction that you're anticipating. So if you went back one way and you have to turn the other way, you've seen a number of guys spike themselves, fall down, land short. It takes that elite ball tracking, as you're talking about, to be able to get to it. And McLaurin made it look easy. Yeah, I promise you, that was not easy in the slightest bit. So something else that wasn't easy is a no-brainer piece of legislation where the federal government, and again, we're going to brush politics, big boy pants on, just telling you what happened, okay? Congress, Senate, et cetera, at 1:30 in the morning, as I'm laying in bed about to go to sleep, I get all of a sudden, my phone is abuzz with alerts. And I'm like, okay, cool prank, John. Cool prank, Mike. Cool prank, Grant, Darius, and everybody messing with me. No, it's real. Been reported by everybody that 100 to nothing. No objectors.
Crazy.
They go, yeah, you know, we can just do it. We'll get together and take this little tiny thing that only affects a few people and just ram it through because there's no downside to it. Federal government gives a bill that's now on Joe Biden's desk to sign, hopefully he signs it, that says RFK is in control of D.C. There's still a fight to be had, so it's not over with, okay? But it's the biggest step. It's the number one step to any chance. You cannot have any future conversations. You can't appease the Charles Allens of the world, the council member who joined Grant and I last week and said he's opposed to the stadium. There are going to be people that are in the way, okay? But you can't have any conversations with them until this part happened. This is the biggest step.
And by the way, hats off to the Maryland senators for not being those guys, right? Everyone else is fine with it. Everyone lets it go. And Maryland could say, nah, we're the one.
Yeah, it could have been 98-2 or something.
Yeah, and credit to them. They said, let's roll with it. And, you know, maybe that means they don't end up getting the stadium back in Maryland. So credit to them for not being, a hindrance there for something that so many people in the area want.
Yeah, at the proverbial 11th hour, because again, it was later than that. It was 1:30 in the morning. So whatever you want to call it, this happened. And that was going to be the news of the weekend until Jaden Daniels was like, watch this. So I don't know the answer to this. And I'm asking you guys at 800-636-1067. I am grappling with myself right now. I'm wrestling back and forth. What's the bigger deal to you? What's got you more excited? I'm more excited. It's probably the Eagles game because nothing's done. But think of like what means more in this case, RFK potentially or beating the Eagles with it yesterday. Toby, I'll start with you. What's more impactful? What's a bigger deal in Toby's universe?
So for me, the RFK thing was never as huge a deal as a lot of people that are older than me. And admittedly, I'm young. So I go back to what Joe Theismann said before the Army-Navy game, when I think he was on with, I forget who he was on with, but he mentioned basically saying, this is a chance to unify the fan base because my generation doesn't care. My generation just wants a new stadium. Build it at Landover, build it at RFK. Mm-hmm. If it were to, you know, if there was any chance it was in Virginia, we don't really care. Just build it there. But I think having the ability to put it back at RFK, where I talk with family members that grew up in the area that are diehard fans, they talk about how special RFK was. I've heard you talk about how special RFK was. And just everybody that's talked about how special that site is. I think Joe Theismann's right that it's a unification there where the older generation that so badly wants it at RFK, my generation that just build me a new stadium, it's a way to bring them together where you give my generation the new stadium that they're craving, but you bring back the older fan base that just so badly wants it where they've had so many great memories. So I think that's really important. So me personally, the Eagles game, like that mm-hmm. to me is the most important thing. But I think getting back to that RFK side, I understand for so many people that, you know, because they'll look at me and say, you don't understand. And you're 100% correct. I do not understand.
You're acknowledging that, yeah.
I've only been to RFK, I think, once in my life for maybe a Nats game, right? So, like, I fully understand that I don't get the extent of how much RFK means to the area. But I think the ability to go back there and what Joe Theismann said of uniting those sorts of factions of the fan base, the older with the younger, I think is so important. So I understand it's so important for a lot of people, but for me, it's the Eagles game.
Mark in Arlington, what's a bigger deal in Mark's universe, RFK or beating the Eagles?
It's RFK. I am part of that old school Washington sports fan. RFK Stadium from the time I was a kid was a magical place to go to, and it does unify the city. It does. It'll be a great development for the city, and it will beat any site Maryland or Virginia has. So it's got to be RFK.
Mark, thank you, buddy. Let's go to Greg in Culpeper. What's a bigger deal in Greg's universe, beating the Eagles or RFK?
Hey, Commander Danny.
That's a good bit, Greg. Well played. Well played.
Hey, it's important for me right now is it's Christmas, and we attended the game yesterday, and that win really meant a lot. We took my wife's uncle, mm-hmm. and he has Down syndrome, and the hospice area in our area gave him 4 tickets. And,
that's great.
So for him to receive a Christmas gift as he received yesterday, he's a longtime fan. That was the icing on the Christmas cake, so to speak. So.
Yeah, can't beat that. Appreciate the phone call, man. There's no wrong answer to this, by the way.
Yeah.
Because awesome things happened. Great things happened late night Friday, and then Sunday was incredible. I don't begrudge anybody if you got a personal story about one or the other. It's hard to choose here. For some, it's not, and that's fine, too. Mo and Largo, what's up, Mo? Merry Christmas to you, buddy. What's a bigger deal in Mo's world?
Merry Christmas, and thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, bud.
Personally, it's the Eagles. Them going back to RFK, honestly, really means nothing to me. And if you give me a minute, I'd like to speak about it, because I really don't understand why everybody is so caught up on the RFK site. First of all, it's not going to be the same experience. This area isn't the same, mm-hmm. okay? And as far as traffic is concerned, coming into Benning Road with all of these people in this area with a new stadium, it would be a nightmare. Now, granted, you have Metro underneath it, mm-hmm. but the nostalgia of what it was will not be what it will be. I mean, I think we just need to let it go and just find a better site that works for everyone, because, granted, a lot of people want the stadium to be there, but the majority of those people are probably visiting the site once, twice, maybe 3 times a year. But there will be a lot of people displaced if that stadium goes back to where it was. That's just how I feel. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate you, dude. Always love Mo's perspective. So a couple of bits of pushback there. Yeah, traffic's a problem. No matter where you put a stadium,
correct.
When you've got an influx of people that's way more than normal, you're going to have issues. You need smart people to design something better than it is now. That's empirical, period, end of story. Nobody's displaced, I don't think, right? It's not as if a bunch of houses are there now. It's an empty eyesore of condemned land, basically, that needs to turn into something. So That's the only thing I would push back on. It's also, but the thing I think is 100% right about, by the way, is we're chasing something that can never be again. In other words, the team was unbelievable in an era before modern free agency where, you know, Gibbs would just keep 10, 11, 12, 15 guys stashed away on practice squads at the end of the roster to have full contact practices deep into December, which gave him an advantage over a lot of people. There are now rules that quite literally prevent all of the stuff that he used to do. So it's a different game in more ways than one. But to me, even beyond that, like the stadium bouncing, that's actually not code. Like, you know what I mean? Like that would be condemned. Yes. You can't do that anymore. So it'll never be the same experience to most points. So we're chasing a bit of a ghost. But to me, that doesn't change that a centrally located among the fan base where everyone's got to sacrifice a little bit. Locals have to sacrifice the fact that now it's in your backyard. You may not want that influx of 75,000 people on a game day. Sorry. Or a concert or event. That's not what you signed up for. There's your sacrifice. Maryland folks got to travel a little bit more. Virginia folks have to continue to travel. Everyone's got to give a little bit to get kind of the best compromise.
Yeah, and I mean, he says like the best location. I don't know that Landover's the best location for everybody. I don't know that there is a great location for everybody. It's like you said, everybody's going to have to sacrifice a little. But I think, you know, the RFK site for a lot of people, I don't want to speak for them, but it feels like to me that a lot of people feel like so much has been ripped away from them, right? The name, the uniforms, just so many things have been ripped away from them. It could be a way to get a little bit of that stuff back, even if it's not going to be the same RFK going back to that site. Also, too, it's just cooler when stuff is in the city, right? It is. It's just cooler when the team that you cheer for is in the city, even if it adds a little traffic, even if it's a little more hectic. Also, too, you know, he mentioned the Metro being right there. I think that takes away some of the traffic, too. If I'm going to a game at RFK, I'd probably take the Metro there. I know that's not maybe not going to be the majority, but I think that gets rid of some of the traffic. I'm not taking the Metro to FedEx.
Yeah, I mean, the New Orleans, where we just were, and I know we still got more calls, I'm going to jump to them, is the perfect example. There's not a ton of parking there, but it's still because there's so much there. It's only it's a mile exactly from the French Quarter. There's underground parking, which kind of limits the tailgate, but they put this kind of big gathering place that's inside of a barrier, meaning you show your ticket out there and then you get in. Now you're in the party. You want to go in, you go in. You want to stay out, you stay out. You can go out in the middle of the game to this area. It's really thoughtful and well played out. And I think that's something that, you know, Washington should consider. Real quick, let's go. Brandon in Kensington. What's a bigger deal in your world, RFK or beating the Eagles?
I don't know, man, but I'm still waking out to the rap song you're all playing.
You're darn right,
15 minutes ago.
You're darn right, sir.
It is a rap song. I wonder what Charles Barkley would think about what's going on with the Skins these days, you know?
Brandon, that's a fair question. Not today. We're doing that tomorrow. Are you in tomorrow, by the way, Toblerone?
I'm not.
Okay, fine. We do this segment, and you're trying to do it a day early, Brandon. I appreciate you. Thank you. We do the all request line tomorrow. I do a bit where we do it for about an hour, where people can call, they pick the voice, and they pick the topic.
I love that.
And I will do it in the voice.
I love
that. We do this because our old producer, Brendan Dar, hated it. That's why we started doing it.
I love it even more.
And that was the whole point. It's to troll him. We always tell him we're doing it, and he pretends he does. He pretends, I liked it. He didn't. He hated it. And that's why we did it. Joe in Falls Church, last word on this. RFK or beating the Eagles, what's a bigger deal in your world?
Oh, I have to go both, because do we remember 2015, day after Christmas, beating the Eagles in Philly? That has, like, now we're topping that. We get the double whammy of going back, potentially going back to RFK and beating the Eagles. Like, I can't imagine it. It's incredible.
So, you got a tie. I'll take that, Joe. Appreciate you, dude. 4 o'clock, Beltway Blitz time. Then we got a little double play next, though. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We've got some stuff prepared. This, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I've got a sports figure I've got to talk about for the double play. Okay, this one is a big deal, a little bit personal, so I'm going to make it my double play, but we got the Beltway Blitz at 4. Jay Gruden joins us at 5. Plenty more show content. Don't go anywhere. Maybe the most important rap album ever? It's up there. Certainly part of the conversation. Sorry about it, by the way. If you didn't have the chronic, I don't know what you were doing, to be frank with you. Welcome back to the radio program. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Toby is in for GP. We'll let it go a little bit. We don't have to go all the way out. You're wondering, why are they doing only 90s hip-hop? It's early 90s hip-hop, because that's the last time Washington did this. They haven't been 10-5 since 91, before Toby was a person. Want to remind you guys, as Christmas is coming up here, January 31st of next year, not that far away, Join your favorite hosts from 106.7 The Fan for a special live show. The Sports Junkies, B. Mitch and Finley, and G&D shed their FCC restrictions for a totally uncensored discussion of DC sports, behind-the-scenes stories of radio, preview the Super Bowl matchup. Just hang out with your pals, radio hosts, for a night of sports, laughs, and fun. Tickets are on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. Grant and I are going to kind of MC the thing and sort of run it. I'm going to do a roast of everybody.
Lovely.
Which, you know, I took my life into my hands and did it the first time. And it's like, hey, make fun of one of your heroes. There's Brian Mitchell over there, right? You know, hey, that Brian Mitchell sure is a good guy. Anyway, next joke. Like, I don't know what you do. But, yeah, it's a blast. So, Tallyho Theater, it's one of my favorite venues to do anything, let alone do some live shows. That's going to be really, really fun. 4 o'clock Beltway Blitz. Jay Gruden joins us at 5. I'm going to sneak this one in here, Darius. It's what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. A little something we like to call the double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. So I'm cheating a little bit. This is obviously sports. Sad news over the weekend. Ricky Henderson passed away, age of 65. First of all, way too young. That is a bummer. Toby, I know you're obviously super young. I make fun of that a lot, but you never got to see Ricky Henderson play.
Yeah.
He was miscast. Or miscast, not the right word. He didn't get a chance to play at the right time. He wasn't properly appreciated in his own time. In my opinion, now I didn't get to see everybody, so I'm not old enough to have seen Mantle, Mays, some of the greats of all time. And I'm not saying anything negative about them. This is a top 10 player of all time, in my opinion. Position player. And you're at first going to go, whoa, what are you talking about? Gold Glove winning outfielder. By the way, the only thing he couldn't do was throw. He was better off catching the ball and jogging it in himself. He had one of the worst throwing arms I've ever seen in my life, but still could track it in the outfield. As an offensive impact player, we don't quite understand how dominant he was. It wasn't until Barry Bonds, who was hitting 70-plus homers a year, came along with his expert batting eye, making him the greatest offensive player ever to live, that somebody finally superseded him in walks. This ain't Babe Ruth. It's not Jimmy Fox. It's not Mickey Mantle. It's not, you know, Rogers Hornsby. It's not, it's not Harmon Killebrew, Reggie Jackson. It was Ricky Henderson, the little pest at the top of the lineup who led the universe in walks. It took them rule adjustments to eliminate extra pickoff throws and make the base bigger for someone to finally come back and do what he did at age 39 and steal that number of bases. Ricky Henderson not only is the best base stealer ever, there's only three guys, I think, who have half as many stolen bases as he did over the last 60, 70 years or something like that. This dude was so unbelievably good and never appropriately appreciated in his time. He's a .280 hitter, got on base over 40%, over 400 on base percentage for his career, but it doesn't go back to those years of absolute dominance. Led the league, I think, a couple different times in walks. Again, on-base percentage, so many years in his prime, not just, approaching 400, well over 400 in on-base percentage. Would always have an OPS in the mid to high eights, again, for his career, an 820 OPS from a little pesky leadoff hitter. Could beat you every single way you'd like to get beaten when you come to the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. I didn't get to watch him, and I know for a fact, we were just talking in the break, he's one of the guys that would have been one of my favorite players if I got to watch him. Just the way that he played the game, the style, like you said, if he played nowadays, how many bases is he stealing? 200 in a year? Like,
But he could have.
As many times as he's on base, he's stealing at least one or two, especially with limited pickoffs. And I mean, if he would have played nowadays, people would have loved him because you had a guy that could hit 20 home runs in a year and steal you 100-plus bags. That's invaluable. And the way that he played the game, the flair that he played the game with. I also love just hearing the different stories, whether it's Tony Gwynn telling a story. Scrolling through Instagram last night, I saw one of Harold Reynolds telling a story. And, you know, Ricky Henderson always talking in the third person. He's just a legend of the game. It's sad that he's gone so young at 65. But, you know, it was cool seeing him around Oakland as they're playing some of their final games there at the Coliseum and seeing some of that. He's a legend, and it's sad to see him gone, but I really wish I could have gotten to watch him play, but to see a lot of people, you know, paying tribute to him this past weekend has been really cool.
Yeah, he had multiple 10 war seasons. I said it again, 10 war seasons.
Incredible.
That's like Ohtani level when you both pitch and hit.
Yeah.
As just a leadoff guy. Again, one of the dominant players, and people misunderstood him. Now, because they saw how brash he was, the sunglasses, that kind of like hunched down stance to make it like a Dennis Eckersley famous idiot, like a 10-inch strike zone, people misunderstood his bravado and, you know, the how long he took on home run trots and like flipping his jersey and or pinching his jersey and doing a bunch of stuff like that. He took a lot of games off. And that really bothered sort of the old school baseball world at that time, where he'd play 140 games. I remember the New York media was killing him at certain points where he'd take a day or 2 days off. Nobody understood the grind. He played 25 years, for God's sakes, because he did this. No one understood. At that point in time, there was no greater grind than being a base stealer. Not only are you doing all the sprints. Think about the number of times that you're doing the sprints and it's a foul ball, you got to come back, or it's a dead ball. But the number of dives back into first place, it was unlimited. The number of times they would try to pick you off, they had to do it to keep you close. And it takes a toll on your body to run over, 165, 170 stolen base attempts, plus playing a Gold Glove caliber outfield at times. Again, not in terms of throwing, but everything else. And then just the grind of playing Major League Baseball. He knew his body better than anybody. And he would take multiple days off. And at the time of this old school baseball mentality, you show up and you're in the lineup, see, the skipper needs you. No one got it. No one understood, but he was ahead of his game. Again, as a 42-year-old, he was still out there playing really, really effective baseball. Maybe not quite a 42. At age 40, they get .315 for the Mets and stole almost 40 bases. And it's just sort of, it's an afterthought. Hard to properly explain how great that dude was, and he was underappreciated at the time while we were in kind of the beginning of the steroid era where these guys were, everybody was hitting 50 homers and you know, all sorts of stuff was happening and how dominant certain players were. Everyone had their turn from Juan Gonzalez to Albert Bell to some of the super sluggers of McGuire and Canseco and the Bash Brothers. That dude was incredible. And I saw his whole career, and it makes me sad that he's gone now.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we're excited nowadays in baseball if a guy goes 20-20, right?
20-20.
I mean, and 20 home runs was the only thing holding back whether Ricky Henderson was going to go like 20-100. Like, it's stupid. Like, you know, Ronald Acuna had a season a couple years ago with 40-70, and the amount of times that Ricky Henderson went over 70 stolen bases. Maybe he didn't reach the 40 home run mark, but just the impact that he had on the game, the swag with which he brought, you know, I think he was such a good ambassador for baseball. And, you know, you're right. I mean, if he were in modern baseball, we'd be talking about him with Ohtani as a superstar, mm-hmm. and people just loving him and him being their favorite player of all time. But because he played in an era where some of the flair and stuff wasn't as appreciated, the style of play wasn't as appreciated, maybe he doesn't get quite the love. I hope now, you know, that he's passed, a lot of people will understand how great of a player he was.
I think 7 times over 70, 10 times over 60 stolen bases in a season. Other times he would just miss it, like 56, 58, etc. Unbelievable player. Rest in peace, Ricky Henderson. Beltway Blitz is up next. Spin you around what's going on in D.C. sports. Here's a hint. It's about the football team. Next on The Fan.